I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. I'm speaking tonight in the person of Brother Jeffrey Beal, elder evangelist of East Baltimore Church of Christ. He's preaching number 16 years. Looking forward to hearing him. So who is this foolish man we're going to talk about tonight, Brother Beal? Tell us about him. Make it plain.
Amen and amen. Hope y'all hear me out there. We're grateful to God for your presence this evening. Again, I'm Brother Jeff Beal. One of the ministers and evangelists that over at the East Baltimore Church of Christ in Baltimore, Maryland. And we're just as pleased as we could be to be invited to speak on our topic for tonight. So grateful to Brother Brooks and the entire Highland Heights Church of Christ for their efforts in bringing forth these monthly gospel messages. And we pray that they are blessing the hearts and minds of all those who are listening and hearing and prayerfully obeying the unadulterated word of the living God. Tonight, my friends, I want to talk to you about my topic for tonight, the foolish man. And we're going to look in our text in Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 24. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 24, and we'll be reading through to verse 27. And the Bible reads right there, Jesus says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Now, Jesus makes two distinctions here based on these two types of individuals, the wise man and the foolish man. But he contrasts the two with similar circumstances. Both are building a house. Both have heard the same message. Both are beset by the same circumstances. But one house is preserved and one house is destroyed. And we need to stop and consider the fact tonight that no house, no building, no human construct is built without some kind of plan. Whether it's conceived in the mind and carried out, or the plans are formalized, put on paper, recorded, and retained. But you see, therein lies the other difference. One man hears the plan and ignores it, and the other man examines the plan and executes it. One builds on a firm foundation, and the other builds on shaky, unstable, and unsure foundations. And I stopped by to tell you tonight that there are those in the world that will hear God's plan and ignore it to their ultimate peril. And there are those who will hear God's plan and obey it to their eternal salvation. And those who simply hear God's word and choose to do things their own way are considered the foolish. The psalmist says in Psalms 14, 1 and 2, "The fool have said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They've done abominable work. There is none who does good." Now, that brings to mind a story in light of today's date, April the 1st. You see, there was an atheist who filed a lawsuit in court claiming that the world's religions all had their own holiday and that there was no holiday for the atheist. The trial was held, and the attorney representing the atheist presented his case. When he had finished, the judge banged his gavel. "Case dismissed." The attorney for the atheist contested, saying, "Your Honor, that's an unfair judgment. The Christians have Christmas and Easter. The Jews have Passover, Yom Kippur, and Hanukkah. And my client and all other atheists have no such holidays." The judge replied, "Yes, they do. You see, the calendar says April 1st is April Fool's Day, And Psalms 14 and 1 states, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And so it's the opinion of this court that if your client says there is no God, then he is a fool. Therefore, April 1st is his holiday. Court is adjourned. Now, someone asked the question, what makes this man, back in our text in Matthew 7, foolish? Is it simply the decisions that he makes or the motivations behind it? Is the house built on sand easier to build, easier to maintain? Is it the location or the amenities? His foolishness is based on the wisdom of self rather than the wisdom of God. Go with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. There the Apostle Paul states his case concerning man's wisdom and God's wisdom. He says concerning the gospel of Christ in verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to the saved, it's the power of God. And now someone may be saying, well, how can the gospel be foolishness? Look with me there in verses 19 and 20. The Bible says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? The foolish man, you see, walks in his own wisdom, his own opinion, his own knowledge. And so he goes about building houses on sand with no real foundation, no real understanding, no real purpose other than self-gratification and self-fulfillment. But Paul proclaims there in verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 1, he says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. If you're foolish enough to rely on your own understanding, your own opinion, and your own belief, that the gospel is foolishness to you, the foolish man, you see, will reject it for his own wisdom and ultimately for his own destruction. But the wise man will accept it for his own salvation. Paul says in verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. How will we bear up, my friends, against the winds and the storms that will come into our lives? We need not be foolish enough to hear God's word of salvation and choose to foolishly ignore it. And this is the thought that comes to mind when we think about salvation. What is the plan of salvation? Well, we first ought to consider the necessity for salvation. Think about that foolish man's house built on sand, built without foundation, without substance, without security, and the winds and storms come and ultimately destroy it. You see, mankind is like that. We do our own thing. We live our own way. We make our own decisions, and we have to live with the consequences. The rights and wrongs of the world are couched between our choices on one side and our consequences on the other. Sin is what we do, all of us, and there is a consequence for it. The Bible says in Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And in Romans 6 and 23, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ the Lord. This is another common bond between the foolish man and the wise man. Despite one man's desire to do what he wants and the other's desire to do what is commanded, sin is palpable in both of them. the wise man may rethink his ways and adjust them accordingly. But the foolish man refuses to reconsider his actions because he feels he doesn't need to. But the scriptures, my friends, still ring true. The recompense for sin, the wages of sin, is death. And this death is nothing less than spiritual death and eternal separation from God. The prophet Isaiah proclaims back in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, the 59th chapter, and verses 1 and 2, he says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you." The foolish man will hear all of this and refuse to believe it or obey it. We need to understand that these are the actions and the consequences of the foolishness of unbelief and disobedience. Let's stay there for just a moment in Isaiah, the 59th chapter. Look what the prophet says here. "For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity." The foolish man hears that and says, "I don't believe it. I believe man creates his own destiny. He carves his own path. He makes his own way." But again, the Bible says in Proverbs 16 and 25, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Back in our text in Matthew 7, the Bible says in verses 25 and 27 that the wind and the rain and the storms visit the houses of both the wise man and the foolish man. You see, the choices are still there to hear and to obey, but the consequences are there as well. And there's something else to consider tonight, my friend. Sometimes the fool's focus is on the temporal rather than the eternal. Jesus tells the parable of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12, in verses 16 through 19. Turn with me there. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 19. And Jesus speaks here, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Now this man is rich. This man is prosperous, and he continues to prosper, so much so that now he needs bigger and better structures to hold his abundance of wealth. He's convinced himself that his own efforts, his own intelligence, his own ingenuity has contributed to his prosperity. And perhaps it has. But because of that, he has no one to pat on the back but himself. And so what does he say to himself? "Self, you've done well. You've done a great job. You should be proud of yourself. Now kick back and put up your feet and relax and enjoy the fruits of your labor." You know, some people are like that. It's all about me. It's all about what I've done, what I have, and what I have coming to me. Well, you might want to stay with me in this text, because Jesus tells us the rest of the story in verses 20 and 21. "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, this is not a condemnation of the rich. It's a warning to us all to remember where your treasure truly is. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life, my friends, is a gift, and gifts are freely given. They are lovingly and graciously bestowed. But the gift of eternal life is by and through Jesus Christ the Lord. The Bible reminds us in probably one of the most popular scriptures of the New Testament, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has offered us salvation through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the foolish man might not believe it. The foolish man might reject it. The foolish man may decide to continue to live his life here on earth without even considering the hereafter. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, there at the 27th verse, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. My friends, just as sure as we all live, we all will die. But the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The foolish man might reject the gift, but he won't escape the judgment. And so I compel you tonight to forsake the ways of the foolish and come by faith, hearing and receiving the engrafted word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Come to Jesus by faith, because without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. Come to him, repenting of your sins, for all of us have sinned. And Jesus says in Luke 13:3, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Confess him as Lord. For he says in Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Come to Jesus and have your sins washed away in baptism. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16. Don't be the foolish man who hears the word and refuses to do it. Utter salvation is inevitable, but salvation is available to all who will hear and obey the word of God. I thank you for your time, and I thank you for listening, and I pray someone out there will be willing to receive and respond to the word of God in obedience and salvation. God bless you, and God keep you.